name is Sylvie, and I'm going to be reading this passage. Elijah was terrified. He got up and ran for his life. He arrived at the Beersheba in Judah and left his assistants there. He himself went farther into the deserts a day's journey. He finally sat down under a solitary broom bush. He longed for his own death. It's more than enough, Lord. Take my life because I'm no better than my ancestors. He lay down and slept under that solitary broom bush. Then suddenly a messenger tapped him and said, "Get up, eat something." Elijah opened his eyes and saw flatbread baked on the glowing coals jars of water, and right by his head he ate and drank. Then he went back to sleep. The Lord's messenger returned a second time and tapped him. "Get up," the messenger said. "Eat something because you have a difficult road ahead of you." Elijah got up and ate and went refreshed by that food for 40 days and nights until he arrived at Horeb, God's mountain. There he went to a cave and spent a night. The Lord's word came to him and said, "Why are you here, Elijah?" Elijah replied, "I've been very passionate of your Lord God of heavenly forces because you, the Israelites, have abandoned your covenant they have torn down your altars and they have murdered your props with the sword. I'm the only one left and now they want you to take my life too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand at the mountain before the Lord. The Lord is passing by." A very strong wind towards the mountain and broke apart the stones before the Lord, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. After the fire, there was a sound. Thin, quiet. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face into his coat and went out and stood at the cave's entrance. A voice came to him and said, "Why are you here, Elijah?" "Thank you. Bye."
Last few weeks, we have been reflecting on stories of God outside the sanctuary. This carries a literal meaning for us right now, as we too are outside the sanctuary. These last few weeks, we have heard stories of God choosing to dwell with us as we wander amidst the wilderness. We have heard stories of God finding us where we are, not just in our homes, but finding us in our uncertainty and worry, in our frustration and pain, in our desperate attempts for control amidst our self-doubt and criticism. We hear stories of Jesus calling us by name and choosing to be with us in uncomfortable places. We were reminded that the divine presence will walk with us as we experience difficult feelings, sharing who we are, how we are, having our experiences validated. We've also heard that there is room for us to connect with God's presence in ways that are uniquely ours. We don't have to find God's presence the same way everyone else does. These ideas aren't just hopeful longing that might apply to our current situation. They're biblical examples that connect to our current reality, because navigating difficult times has been a human reality for all time. These last few months have been a first for us. Stay-at-home orders, quarantine, isolation, social distancing, pandemic response. But as new as these realities are for us, coming to be with humanity in a real and relational way is not new for God. From the earliest stories of Genesis to the very last moments Jesus shared after his resurrection, God is with us. And we are reminded of this steadfast and faithful presence again today in the story of Elijah. Elijah is a prophet in the Hebrew scriptures. His legacy is one of powerful witness, miracles, risking everything to proclaim God's truth. In fact, Elijah never dies in the scriptures. He ascends to heaven alive, and Jewish people the world over leave an open seat during Passover awaiting his return. We encounter Elijah today, right after he has demonstrated God's power by performing miracles that put the priests of the god Baal to shame. The queen, who's been a devotee of Baal, is furious that Elijah would embarrass her priests, order them eliminated, and then even prophesy her demise. You don't do that to the queen and live to tell of it. So Elijah flees for his life. We again find an interesting example of biblical social distancing, as Elijah stays as far away from others as possible. Just like the Hebrew people he has sought to guide and teach, he wanders through the desert. Like the Hebrew people in the desert, God provides for his basic needs, offering him daily bread. And then he begins a 40-day journey. That special number that tells us who the person was is not who they will be. A number not about counting days, but measuring change. However long our time away from the sanctuary will be, it would have been recorded biblically as 40 days. For by God's grace, we will not be the same, and will have Elijah's journey of transformation leads him to Mount Horeb. This is the very mountain where Moses received the Ten Commandments. This is the mountain where God gave instruction for the tabernacle to be built, so the divine presence might travel with God's people wherever they would go. And Elijah finds a cave and settles in for the night. When he steps out of his cave, when Elijah steps out of the closed-off darkness he sought for himself, he encounters a question from God. Why are you here? So Elijah offers the story of what got him here. God will ask him the same question again, an indication that Elijah has not understood what God is really asking. Why are you here? Joey's second grade class has been working on writing stories. They've all picked memories to build out into narratives of their life experience, and in his learning, he's encountered the essential questions. Who? What? When? Where? How? And why? As he asks these questions of himself, developing not only a story, but developing his own understanding, I have been reminded of how matter-of-fact those first questions are. Who, what, when, where, and how are all rather direct questions. With rare exception, they have very clear answers. But why? That is a far more open-ended question. It is a far more inward-opening question. And that is the question that God asks. Why are you here? Elijah gives him a who, and a what, and a where, and a when, and a how. But God is looking for something more. It's why I believe God asked the question. Because for all the difficulty Elijah has known, all the dedication and service, for all the hardship he has endured and will wrestle with again serving the Lord, it is his reason for doing so, his why, that will carry him through it all. It is something we are invited to consider as well. For me, even though being not together is incredibly difficult, and the slow pace of discovering and returning to whatever our new normal will be, sure, it's not an easy journey. The who, what, when, where, and how of our current COVID existence is frustrating, at times heartbreaking, but it's the why that sustains me through it. Your well-being, the health and safety of family, friends, and neighbors, this why we're doing what we're doing. The sanctity and value of each and every person's life is why. And as we seek to come out of the cave-like existence of quarantine, God invites us to remember why we have been here. God also invites us to remember that God is here with us. You know, for all his divine experiences, Elijah had never seen God. Elijah has rained down fire from the sky as God's messenger, but never seen the Lord. So God invites him to stand in front of the cave and experience the divine presence firsthand. And as he steps out, there is a wind so strong that it tears the mountain apart. But the Lord was not in the wind. Then the very foundations of the earth quake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Next, a fire comes, blistering heat, consuming flame. But the Lord was not in the fire. The wind, the earthquake, the fire, powerful and elemental, all traditionally ascribed and attributed as acts of God. All of them. Nothing but show. Much like Elijah's experience at the cave, our lives are often filled with attention-commanding moments, experiences and circumstances that grab our focus. We often have our attention drawn in many ways as we look for meaning. Much like Elijah, we find that what we are looking for is not there. We think that God has not shown up. For God is with us, but in a far more personal and intimate way. The scripture tells of it so gently. After the fire, there was a sound. Thin. Quiet. Some translations say a still, small voice. I wonder, how long has that sound, in all its thinness and quietness, how long has that sound been present? Was it there during the wind? Was it there during the earthquake, during the fire? Had that divine presence, that still, small voice, had it been there the whole time? Not just at the cave, but during the wandering in the wilderness? All the days and years before, had it been there the whole time? Has it been for us too? I believe it was always there for Elijah. And I believe it is always there for us too. But, much like Elijah, we often don't hear it until our lives have been disrupted. Can you hear it now? Sound is thin. Quiet even. But it is there. Still, small voice that affirms your worth, that speaks of love and acceptance, that stirs hope within you, that calls you to justice. Can you hear it now? The sound is thin, quiet, reminding us that we are not alone, that no one is forgotten. That we'll only make it through this, but we will be changed, growing in grace and in the likeness of God, following the invitation of the divine to claim God's kingdom of peace here on earth. That might be the answer to our question, why? God is speaking. May we listen together and be reassured by the sound of that presence.